You know, I want to talk tonight. The title of my message tonight is Get Your Hopes Up. Get Your Hopes Up. You know, you hear people say it sometimes, and the world definitely doesn't want you, but don't get your hopes up, you know. Don't get your hopes up. Well, why not? You see, sometimes I had someone tell me one time that said, well, they said, and I don't know why I thought about it. I just said, well, who are they? And who gave they the right to say what they just said in your life? Get your hopes up. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would, please. Verse 13. We'll read some of these from the NIV version tonight, I believe. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Got 5 points tonight, quick points about hope. This says, and now these 3 remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So my first point is hope is a lasting virtue. Hope is a lasting virtue. It's something that is not temporary. It's not fragile. When we say get your hopes up, we're talking about something that is enduring. It is one of the, if you will, 3 foundational virtues that come from God: faith, hope, and love. Of course, we know the greatest of these is love. But thank God for hope. We're to hold on to our hope, trusting it is as a vital part of fulfilling an enduring Christian life. Hope. The Bible definition of hope, let me give this to you, is confident expectation. You look this up in several different Strong's, W. Vines, some Thayer's dictionaries. It's confident expectation, and it carries with it the idea of having joy while you're hoping. You know, never ever would you be fulfilling Scripture and saying, well, I sure hope so, being all depressed and down. No, Bible hope is confident expectation. It has nothing to do, it's not even close to wishing for something. Bible hope is confidently expecting. Why? Because we can have confidence in God, right? We can have confidence in Him. In fact, one resource said this: it's a confident expectation and assurance of what God has promised, grounded in His faithfulness, character, and His power. It is not wish. Biblical hope is rooted in certainty because it's based on God's unchanging word, His ability. Hope. If you're in hope, you're happy. You're expecting. Amen. I got a message this morning on WhatsApp from somebody in another country telling me their wife is pregnant. And they were saying, praise the Lord. Now, why were they saying praise the Lord? Because they're happy about it. She's expecting. There's hope of a baby, right? And there's joy involved with that. Hope is a lasting virtue. It is something that will remain and does remain. Our second point tonight is hope is an anchor for the soul. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 6, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 13 and read here through the end of the chapter. Verse 13 through 20, this is again from the New International Version. It said, when God made His promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. Think about it. Who's God going to say, I swear I'm telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me. I mean, who's he going to swear by? So he swore by himself, saying, how did he do that? He said something. I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and an oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by 2 unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. And let me stop here and say something about herp. Hope, not herp, hope. Hope is, hope is future tense. You don't hope for what you already have. You know you have it. That's why, you know, when we talk about faith is the substance of things hoped for, faith is right now. Faith is acting as if you had it right now, speaking as if you had it right now, thinking as if you had it right now. Hope is future tense. Amen. But without hope, you can't have faith. What do you hope? What are you going to attack? What are you going to use your faith on? What you hope for. See, that's when we go to the Word of God and it shows us what belongs to us, and that Word begins to build an image on the inside of us of what we can have. And it builds a hope. It's like a blueprint. Yes, it is future tense. Excuse me. But we lay hold of the hope. Notice that it says that is set before us. And by it, we're greatly encouraged. Once again, if you're depressed, if you're downtrodden, if you're just all upset about it, you're not in Bible hope. Amen? Hope is an exciting thing. Amen. You know, before the college football season started, there was a lot of people that had hope. Not so many anymore. Amen. Not so many people have that hope. Some still do, but not so many. But we don't have, see, we don't have something that's going to fade away. We don't have something that's going to not going to work. We have something that is guaranteed. Verse 19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It, that hope, enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. I mean, that hope is a result and actually leads us into the very holy of holies with God. It says, where our forerunner Jesus has entered in on our behalf, he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. This hope is an anchor for our soul. Now, your soul is made up of your mind. What happens in our mind? We have thoughts, right? We have reasonings in our mind. Also, part of our soul is our emotion. How many of you know you need an anchor for your emotions? You need a firm, you know, in Isaiah, it talks about a nail in a sure place. You need something firm to hang your emotions on. Well, God's Word will give you an anchor. How many of you have ever been in a boat before? How many of you have ever seen a boat before? You know, every good boat should have an anchor. Now, a canoe's not going to have an anchor, you understand. But I'm talking about a boat. What does that anchor do? It goes down, and it fixes that boat to a certain spot. And as long as the chain or whatever it is on that anchor, and if it's a proper size anchor, it's going to hold that in place. Hope will hold you in place. It will take your thought life and keep it steady. Now, you know, a good anchor, even if the wind blows and the waves roll, will keep you fixed. I'm telling you, there is no better anchor than the anchor of the Word of God. This hope is our anchor. See, getting your hopes up doesn't mean hoping in uncertainty. Rather, it's about anchoring our soul to God's unshakable promises. Our hope that is rooted in God keeps us secure even when life feels stormy or unpredictable. Now, you know, life happens, it comes around to everybody, right? Life, as somebody said, life happens. Now, we need to be making more of life happen than sometimes we are. But life comes along. You know, unless Jesus tarries, everybody is going to die at some point on this earth, what we call physical death, right? Everybody's spirit's going to be separated from their body. I'm not making light. If you've had a loved one recently that's passed away, or, you know, as we say, passed away. You know, I'm not speaking light of that. But you know, it's interesting to me that as Christians and people that sometimes act like some people aren't ever going to die. Now, we're not in a hurry. But if Jesus tarries, I mean, what is this? 2024. We'll do it. I almost forgot. I mean, here in just a month and a half, I'll have another birthday. And I'm getting to an age that when I was younger, I thought, that's an old man. Not now. It's not old now. I'm looking at people in their 70s, I'm thinking, they're not old. No. No. I remember as a student at Raymond, we had a friend, he was 29. We thought he was the Ancient of Days. Amen. You know, I was 21, 22, 23 when I graduated. He was 29, you know, that first year. 8 years older than me. 8 years now, that's young. You know, 8 more years and a month and a half will be, you know, I'm turning 64, so in a month and a half, 72, that's a young person. Come on now. Amen? Melvin, that's young, right? Melvin can really say, you know, glory to God. Hope. When life comes, hope keeps us anchored. But one of the things that as Christians that we have, and this is point number three, hope, we have hope in eternal life. Amen? Hope in eternal life. Look at Titus chapter 1, if you would, please. Titus chapter 1. Our future is guaranteed. Aren't you glad about that? We've got hope in eternal life. Now, we say hope because why? It's future. That eternity with God is future. Now, how many of you know the Bible says we have this life now in us? If you don't have it in you now, you're not going to have it then. Amen. We have this life now. But look what Titus chapter 1, verse 1 says. We'll read here a few verses. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, in which now at his appointed season, he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Savior. How Paul said, God has chosen to shine the light and to reveal this eternal life, this hope that God has set forth, that he decided on before the beginning of time. See, true hope is not based on my present circumstances. It's based on the eternal life that's promised to me by a God who never lies. Whoo, glory to God. Circumstances change. Have you noticed that? And if your circumstances haven't changed, just live a few more days. Circumstances change all the time, but God's promise is unchanging. It is that anchor. So to get our hopes up is to lift our eyes beyond this world to the certainty of God's kingdom. And having confidence in the fulfillment of God's ultimate plan for our life. Getting our hopes up. Our fourth point tonight. And we kind of touched on this, but hope produces joy and peace. Joy and peace. Romans chapter 15, if you would please. Hope produces joy and peace. Romans 15, 13. Again, this is the New International Version. It says, may the God of hope. Boy, I like that. I like that phrase, talking about God. May the God of hope. If you're not having hope, you need to spend time with God. Because you spend time around God, you're going to have hope. Glory to God. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Woo, glory to God. Joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. One place the Apostle Paul said, what is the kingdom of God but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost? We thank God for that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Thank God we're called to live a righteous life. But thank God we're also called to have joy and peace. What gives us that joy and peace? Hope. Hope. I didn't give them this verse, but I'm going to turn to it. Hebrews chapter 12. Thank God somebody put a Bible up here because I didn't bring mine tonight for some reason. Uh-oh, I took somebody's marker place. Sorry, Mrs. I think Mrs. Hagen, this is her markers. She's not here, so I'm going to do it anyway. All right. Hebrews 12. Listen to this. Verse 1 and 2 says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. So he said, let's look at Jesus here. He's our example, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, what do we know in the garden? Jesus went to God and said, God, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. But your will be done, not mine. And he resisted, his flesh resisted. You know, going to the cross is not something that you do, just naturally do. But what caused Jesus to endure the cross and go through it with joy and peace? The hope that was set before him. That hope caused joy. Jesus, what do we mean? Jesus saw you sitting here tonight, a child of God, with the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, with eternity as your future, and that brought him joy. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. When I think about all the needs that I don't even know about yet, that my God has already worked to supply, when I think about every one of them being taken care of already, it brings me joy and gives me peace concerning the future. Amen? He goes on to say there, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. A life filled with hope is marked by joy and peace. Getting your hopes up in God leads to an overflow of these qualities. Not because of some naive optimism. We're not talking here about positive thinking. We're not talking about, you know, that type of thing. But we're talking about something that comes, it's a spiritual force that comes because of the Holy Spirit empowering us to see God's goodness even in the midst of the circumstances. We can have joy and peace. If Jesus could have joy and endure the cross, and all, not just the cross, but all that he went through in his death, burial, resurrection. You know, we look at the cross because we can see the natural things, but what about the payment for our sin that took place in the realm of the Spirit? Because the Bible says in Hebrews, the very instruments of worship in heaven were stained by man's sin. But Jesus went and cleansed those. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was separated from God so that you and I wouldn't have to be. The psalmist said, and as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, that Jesus' soul was not left in hell. Well, it's not left there. That meant he went there. Why? Because that's where you go if you die as a sinner. He never sinned, but he died for you and I, so he bore the fullness of it. He drank the cup of our redemption till there's no more drop left to drink. He fully paid the price. Glory to God. And we can now have hope and have joy and peace because of what he did. Our last point is this. Hope inspires perseverance. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage. I mean, this very earth has hope. Amen. Everything God created is now subject to hope. It's hoping for what? What's it say? And that it will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to this present time. We not only so, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly and wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. See, that's that perseverance. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. When we do not know what we ought to pray for, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know, and we know, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Getting your hopes up doesn't mean ignoring the challenges, but embracing them with patience and endurance. Hope keeps us moving forward, trusting that what God has promised will come to pass, even when we cannot see it. I like that part in at least the Pentecostals sing it in that song, Waymaker. Even when I can't see it, He's working. Even when we don't see it. Even if we don't feel it, He's working. Glory to God. He's still working. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. This is from the King James Bible here. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. See, if you don't have hope when tribulation comes, you're not going to glory in that. But in patience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, or another translation say, right at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends or demonstrates His love toward us, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or the redemption. Do you see the hope that's set before us? The hope that we have working in us there. And notice that He says this, your hope will never be ashamed. Just keep trusting in God. Get your hopes up in God. Get your hopes up. It isn't about wishful thinking. It's a call to trust in God's unchanging character and promises. It invites us as believers to lift our expectations, trusting that God is faithful and able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine. My challenge tonight is for every one of us to take that hopeful posture in every season of life, knowing that our God will never disappoint Bible-based hope. When you hope in God, you need to get your hopes up. I'll end with this tonight, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 from the NIV. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we will, more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Get your hopes up. In this season, you know that there are more suicides from now through the end of the, through the first of the year than in any other time in this country. Here we are getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. Not Thanksgiving for just that. This Thanksgiving came out of a people that said, we will worship God in freedom. And we will not be under the tyranny and told what to do. We are free men and women, and we will worship God as we see fit. It was born out of a Christian freedom. Amen. Why? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to heaven to the Father but by Him. Tomorrow we give thanks that God raised up this country, founded it on Christian principles. Has every leader been a Christian? No. Has everything operated by Christian principles? No. We can go back in our history and look at many things that were ungodly. Why? Because sometimes men are weak. When I say men, mankind. Male and female created us. Him, right? God created us, man, male and female created us, created He them, the Bible says. Been weak. But the foundation is still there, and we thank God for it. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something. God's not through with this nation. Because from this nation, and other nations of the world are stepping up and taking their place. But from this nation, the gospel has been preached all over the world in the last 200 and ever how many years it's been. Close to 250 now. Getting there. Can you believe that? In 2 years. But we're getting ready to celebrate. Yet people, because of the time, they don't see any reason to have hope. I want to tell you right now, child of God, you have every reason to have hope. You have every reason to have an abundance of hope. I'm challenging you tonight. I'm telling you tonight. I'm imploring you tonight. Get your hopes up. Get in the Word of God and see what it says that belongs to you and believe that it's for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Thank you for your Word. Hallelujah.